DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble-wubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Hello?
There he is!
Hey!
Oh my gosh, now we have the virus. You're on video, yep. Bro.
You gave us video?
There he is! Does that mean we all have to do video now?
No, fuck no.
Just me.
As it should be.
You're the only one worth looking at anyway.
That's true.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You are looking good, buddy.
Body shame friends, and who can you body shame?
Hey, bronchitis has done wonders for you.
Thank you so much. it's the disease I've always wanted, really.
Is that your hand or your ass? What are you doing to your phone, man?
I got it secured, so it should be, is the video still on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there he is.
I just want to talk. I don't want to have to be seen.
Oh, no. You have to be seen now, buddy. You have to be seen.
Do you have the microphone? You can click on the microphone and click off the icon.
Find the microphone. Come to me, motherfucker.
The microphone.
Or just muted me.
Nope.
This is the episode where Samantha and I spend the whole time watching Jim try and work his phone.
Oh, it's a crotch.
Yeah.
I know, it looks like a crotch.
What a baby sees right before it's born.
Come on! It's so great out here! Come on!
Oh, no. No, no. I'm going back in. I'm going back in.
Placenta.
I wish I was, like, video recording this. Oh, my God.
Yeah, without the visual, this part of this show's not going to make sense.
James took
I just took a picture of myself, so that's how my day is going. Thank you all.
Yeah, you know what, buddy? Just leave it. We want to see your face anyway.
Nope. Did it work? Fucking goddamn it. Look, I have to look at this Adonis body and face all day. I just need an hour to myself. Is that too much to ask?
Typically, yes.
Oh, okay, well, thank you for keeping me humble, Samantha. James, take note.
Dude, I spent years keeping you humble. It's on to someone else now.
Oh, like it was just you? You were the only one? Like it wasn't just a constant barrage from all sides?
Hey, I was trying to keep you humble and lift you up at the same time.
Yeah, you can't, yeah, it's like trying to lift somebody up with a knife. You can do it, but it's not much fun for them.
Hey, I learned at the feet of Bryce, so.
And I learned at the feet of Marconi, so. Yeah.
Okay, that's one demerit for mentioning that name on this show.
You know what? Marconi, for as bad a guy as he's gotten a rep, and not all of it is...
unjustified?
You know, yeah. But I will say when I worked with him, I did see a genuine side to him, and I got to see, you know, how his interactions were with fans in his own way. Like he had a lot of problems, as we all fucking do because we're all in radio. But no, I feel like maybe now is the time to maybe just stop with just bagging on Marconi, at least as far as I am concerned. You know, maybe sobriety has given me a different, you know, outlook on.
You're a much more forgiving person than I am.
Oh, fuck you.
Well, and see, here's the thing. Marconi never actually did anything to me directly.
That you know of.
But he did have some indirect things that he did very, very early in my career. Before KUFO, even.
Yeah.
So, he and I, again, he's a nice enough guy when he wants to be. But I always felt like there was an underlying thing, like, you know, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, like I said, not unfounded.
That, and I didn't like the way he treated my friend.
Who was your friend?
Some guy, I don't know if you know him, his name, he went by Big Jim.
Fucking Tiny?
No, fuck that guy.
Have we checked on Tiny? Has anyone checked on Tiny, for fuck's sake?
Last I heard, about Tiny was, he was like emceeing at a strip club. And this was like,
I mean, yeah,
20 some odd years ago, so who the fuck knows?
Yeah, no, being a stripper, you've already got a lot of issues that you're probably working through badly.
Yeah.
And the last thing you need is that. At the end, barking Porkland endlessly as if that fucking means anything. You know?
You know what's really weird is, too, because Tiny and I were in the same radio class. He was a super nice guy until he got on the Marconi show, and then his personality flipped.
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking, is what it was.
That sucks when that happens to people.
Success sometimes isn't the right thing for some people.
Yeah.
And the people who deserve it don't always get it.
Nope.
Jim, honestly, and I'm not doing this to pull your chain or anything, Jim should have been far more successful in Portland than he was.
Thank you, I think.
So. No, dude, I honestly feel that you got... you got a great break at KUFO, but you were never allowed to explore it. I think had things not gone the way they would have, with you coming in after Court and Fatboy, I think KUFO would have ruled the demo for years.
Yeah.
If certain other individuals hadn't shown their colors. Are you under fire there, buddy? I just saw a flash of light.
At all times. At all fucking times. Constant fire. Yeah, you know, that was just, that time is, you know, gone or whatever. But, again, I would not have seen any of that if it wasn't for the opportunity that was given to me by Josh Marconi Bryce. Bryce, that was fucking Freudian. Sorry, Bryce, I do apologize. I did not mean to lump you in with his shenanigans, but...
Oh, he's sending you a care package right now.
Oh, good. Whose head's in the box? We know it's going to be a head. Whose head's in the box? If it's going to be Tiny's head, then it's going to weigh a lot.
The guy bringing it up is going to be, it's going to be on a hand truck. And
Samantha, did you ever see Tiny?
No.
So you don't really know, like, okay. So I my interactions with Tiny were very minimal. I only really got to see him or meet him when Marconi was on his other station, 94.7, I think. And I got brought on a couple times as a guest. And this guy, like, you've seen some people that are fat, right?
Yeah.
And they are technically just skinny people that don't have a whole lot of, like, focus on nutrition and everything. But if they worked at it, they could be skinny and they would look really good. And there's some people that are just, like, genetically predisposed to having just extra person.
Yeah.
Like, God's like, I got all this left over. I can't make it in a whole other person, but if I just mushed onto this guy, you know, he'll make it work. He'll find a way. Right? And so the back of Tiny's neck was well spoken of. Because what did they say it looked like, James?
I don't remember ever hearing about the back of his neck.
Hot dogs. It was a pack.
Oh, a pack, yeah.
But not a good pack of hot dogs. Like, the pack that they couldn't put on stores because there's a couple of broken ones. They're kind of janky and kind of, like, fucking up the flow for the other eight that are in the pack. Like, this was a janky pack of slightly irregular hot dogs that was on the back of this dude's neck. And, yeah, he would just bark Porkland endlessly. And it was just, I wasn't quite in on that joke, but it seemed popular, so I just rolled with it.
Yeah, I might see, there might be video of Tiny somewhere. I'll have to see if I can find it and, send it to you, Samantha. So you can know Tiny in a way that, Jim and I never will.
Yeah.
So happy for that opportunity.
Can you hear the excitement, James? Can you hear it? Just palpable.
Yeah.
The phone, Samantha's like, I can't wait. Just cannot wait.
So a couple of days ago, Samantha posted up on her Facebook a beautiful couple of photos of makeup jobs she's done as herself as a zombie.
Yes, very well done.
I've been catching some flack lately about Homestead and the fact that I may or may not be responsible for this viral outbreak that we are currently going through.
Well, admitting it is the first step towards fixing it.
Look, I'm not saying I wrote it, but I will say some of the similarities between things that are actually happening and things that I've written are eerily similar. Yeah. So,
this is about as subtle as like a fucking Law and Order SVU episode, right? Ripped from the headlines. Like it's your radio show, your radio serial Homefront isn't so much for entertainment, more as like a guideline as to what to expect for the future. So,
well, it's I will say, look, if you're listening to Homefront, you're probably better off. If you listen to Homestead, then you understand what we are heading towards.
Oh, is that, did I say Homefront?
It's like when I asked you for to say greenhouses and you gave me greenhorns.
Greenhorns. Well, I mean, both could be applicable, you know. My character has sustained a lot of cerebral trauma. And, I mean, he's still kicking, but not all the cylinders are firing.
He is. He's a good old boy, but, yeah, he's not all there. But, no, so I told Samantha that I think we missed the mark, and we should have actually written a zombie apocalypse type thing wherein she would be the lead character. And she asked me for a name, and I suggested Zomantha.
What did you do with the other 4 minutes that you you needed to come up with that name?
I made a sandwich.
Yeah.
Making a sandwich is always the right answer.
Yeah. What was the key ingredient of that sandwich? Creativity, obviously, because you didn't use any. You could do better than Zomantha.
Okay, smartass. Let's see what you got.
All right. How about Crimson Knight? Because she's cutting bitches up.
She's a zombie.
Skull Hunter? Because she's knocking fucking heads off. You know, Zomantha. That is a tired mushing of two words. That's like when President Trump. I'm sorry. Colt 45. When he inserts his flaccid unit into his fleshlight. That was like the effort that was being put into creating that word right there. That name. Word painter is what I am.
Okay, look, I'll remember that when I sell, you know, 50 million copies of the graphic novel, and you won't get a dime.
Fine. And you know what? I will be happy around that hobo fire, around that burn barrel. As I'm just like, you know, once upon a time I used to be on radio. And they'd be like, shut up, old man. Who's that? Oh, I think that's Tiny. I don't know who the fuck that guy is. Radio, what the hell is that? I used to be able to... I was an invisible voice on the wind. Okay, yeah, we need to put him down. He's clearly showing signs of dementia.
Oh, Hobo Jim.
That's my confirmation name. Saint Hobo.
Saint Hobo Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are in the middle of this global pandemic, and people are losing their minds. And Samantha, you were telling me in Ohio they put you in like a stay-home sort of thing.
Yes, shelter-in-place.
Shelter-in-place. Jim, are you in a shelter-in-place, or is your state closing down?
I mean, for at the moment, I can still go places. Grocery stores are still open.
Ooh, look at you with your freedom.
Well, who runs Bata Town? Jim runs Bata Town.
As of this morning, Oregon was put in a shelter-in-place thing. And personally, I think I feel like this is... I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying I don't know what that means specifically. So what does a shelter-in-place mean?
Okay, so the shelter-in-place mandate is essentially that they don't want you... leaving your house. If you can work from home, work from home. If you can, you know, essentially stay in your house. Nothing good will come if you leave your house, is what they're trying to say.
Are there any, like, repercussions if you are caught leaving your house?
You are taken to the town square and shamed.
In Portland? Okay. I call that Tuesday, but fucking, I mean, if we're going to make a deal about it, let's fucking make a deal about it.
No, so far as I know, there's not any, any repercussions. And, I will say, Jim, you're missing some beautiful traffic. I mean, you can get from one end of the city to the other in like 10 minutes.
No, I had some friends that I've been, using this app Marco Polo with, and they've shown me. I saw last night it was like 5 or 6 o'clock on a Sunday on 82nd Avenue, and it was a fucking ghost town, and it was chilling.
Yeah, it. Yeah. Driving to work this morning, I was the only person on the road at like 8:30 in the morning. My office, I can see kind of a major highway. And I saw maybe 5 cars total the entire day. So it is freaky,
like,
scary.
Does everybody else get a note that I didn't, you know, when you're driving around, like, what the fuck?
Does someone know something that I didn't?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we were at Bree and I went to Clackamas Town Center on Saturday afternoon. I think 3 stores were open. All the restaurants were shut down. And it was living in the apocalypse. It's like, wow, we could, if the doors were open, we could walk into any store. If security wasn't here, we could break the windows and just take what we wanted.
Yeah.
But it is.
What is there's a word for that. What is it? Oh, yeah, looting.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. It is. I feel like this is an overreaction, though. And I had this conversation with someone last week. We didn't have this kind of panic on any other viral epidemic we've had. Now, I'm not saying Corona is worse or better than anything we've had before, but it feels like the reaction is so extreme on this to the point of ridiculousness.
Well, the reason because of that is there's no plan. There's no confidence that the people in charge know what the fuck they're doing and know how we're going to get the fuck out of this.
Yeah, this is true. I also feel like we are creating a much bigger problem with this reaction. The financial backlash of this is going to be so bad. I mean, the government's talking about giving every American $1,000 to try and offset the damage the economy's taken. What is it?
The last
6
Republican president did the exact same shit. Bush Jr. fucking threw everybody, what was it, like $500, $300, something like that?
Really? You got money from Bush Jr.? Because I didn't get money from Bush Jr.
He sent it to everybody. Yeah,
dude,
it was a stimulus
really
check. And you know what? It was during the election year.
It was. I mean, I was overseas, and I was in the military, so I was overseas, and I get this, like, extra $600 in my account. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I was very confused. I had no idea what was happening in the States at that moment.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, James. I trust. So yeah, this $1,000 shit.
Yeah. So we're looking at you know, the difference between this and what happened with Bush Jr. is there was like bank issues and they were bailing out companies left and right. They're not going to give rich Americans money because fuck those assholes. And I know
to a mountain, yeah.
Yeah, I think $1,000 is like the max they give, and it's all dependent on your household income. So my household income, which is not great, will probably get $40 per adult.
No, it's $1,000 per adult and $500 for kids. So, and it maxes out at $3,000. So if you've got a big family, you'd be looking at $3,000.
Oh.
So what you're saying is Samantha and I got to get ourselves some kids really quick.
I mean, I don't know if you guys are going to do that together. You might want to talk it over with Bree and Samantha's wife. Cousin, sorry. He knows where he stands.
I was going to say, buddy, you're not wrong there.
I'm not going to argue that point.
It's like, you know, if I was allowed to have an opinion, I might say something here, but I'm not. I'm just going to...
No, excuse me a while. I'd go clean up the house and make myself look pretty.
Hey, babe. I did fold the towels the way you like. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Just real quick. You look pretty.
I got you some chocolate.
I don't know this guy. I apologize. I'm talking shit and I shouldn't be. I apologize. I'm out of line. Wow, listen to that cackle. She's like, hey, go ahead and be sorry. I'm not. Exactly what that laugh just told me. She's like,
I run this house. What?
Who runs Bonnetown?
Skull Hunter runs Bonnetown. Got a vibe to it. I don't know.
So yeah, I feel like the economical problems that we're creating now with this shelter in place, we're going to be feeling it for like the next 10 years. Doesn't matter who's president. So, yeah. But a lot of analysts are saying that Trump he's pretty much lost the election because of this. Like every president, has to deal with a major crisis at some point in their presidency.
Isn't it that kind of fucking weird? Like, anybody point that shit out, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but doesn't that seem weird?
It does.
Two terms tend to usually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, I kind of agree. Like, all the presidents in recent memory have dealt with some crisis or another, you know? I mean... Okay, Bush Jr. had like three of them, but
yeah.
So, but yeah, I just feel like this one is you know, you could almost say he set himself up for this when he dumped the pandemic response team simply because
absolutely.
You know, so kind of on him.
Yeah.
kind of but I don't think, I really don't think that anyone could have foreseen this happening.
A pandemic response.
For the countries that were previously affected, the analysts that saw it coming and tried desperately to get, yeah, you're right. It was just fluke.
No, but I, seriously, like 3 years ago, could anyone have seen something like this on the, I mean, okay, again, because we've had viral outbreaks before, and we've always dealt with them, you know, but it just felt like this one, like, and not just this country, but mm-hmm. other countries as well. I feel like, was there a memo Did the Illuminati get together and go, okay, look, all you countries, don't worry about it. We got this. Well, I mean, it feels like the Illuminati kind of set this one up, you know?
Did Bryce disappear for any period of time mysteriously?
Everything about Bryce is mysterious.
True. Very true.
So,
I will tell you, there is a group of people that saw this shit coming and are quite smug with themselves right now, and they're called agoraphobics. And they're laughing at it. Every fucking laugh. They're like, oh, you can't leave. You're welcome to my world, bitches. Agoraphobics are just the smuggest bastards on planet
Earth. Oh, and they're happy as shit because they can go outside now.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They can. They won't, but they can.
It feels like a setup. It feels like a setup.
Oh, that over there, that's Freaky Phil. He never leaves his house. What a fucking weirdo, right? Right. Who's the only one yelling at this room full of corpses? Phil. Phil's a lonely man. Phil needs to really keep himself.
Phil needed a win.
And that was the story of Phil, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's the show. Is that it? Is that the show? Okay.
No, right. No, okay. We got some more. So, Samantha, how long have you been in shelter in place? That was just today, right?
Yesterday, it was officially called and signed shelter in place, but we've been strongly encouraged not to leave our homes for about a week now. Ryan and I both worked from home all last week. Actually, he went into the office on Monday, and I was home from work all last week. So really, since last weekend...
And Samantha has locked in the garage. Samantha has him locked in the garage, not letting him back in the fucking house.
No, social distancing.
It's nothing personal, just I'm pushing the food through the air duct, okay? I know. There's going to be a lot of spiders on your food. I get it. But, you know,
but you need the protein.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to.
So, Jim, you will absolutely love this story. I just heard about this like 2 hours ago. So the whole social distancing thing is like the big thing. It's like, you know, stay home, don't do anything. Well, apparently this weekend, half of Oregon lost their fucking minds and decided, you know what? We're going to the coast. Seaside and a couple other cities were throwing tourists out of their city. Like, you can't stay here. And that's why we have the shelter in place today. Because, like, a bunch of mayors from these coastal towns wrote to our governor and said, look, these people are not staying at home. We don't want them here.
Yeah.
So, sorry to ruin spring break for you.
I just imagine... I just imagine the mayor of I don't know, like, Seaside or whatever, one of the cities... Just being like, just sitting at the city limits, like Krusty the Clown with a loaded shotgun and Homer goes, just keep right on driving, bitch.
You can turn around right there.
I'm a Goonie. Yeah, well, guess what? This Goonie's going to say die when I pump him full of fucking lead. Hit the bricks, sloth.
Just sloth walking back and forward with the big old shotgun on his shoulder. Hey, you guys! Turn the fuck around.
Yeah. And Florida, too, which, I mean, no surprise. But people flock the shit to Florida, and they're all on the beach like, yeah, get my Corona tan. Like, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah, there's been... I saw a bunch of news stories last week, college kids going to Fort Lauderdale and stuff. And they're like, we're not going to let it stop us. It's like, well, yeah, you are, because none of the bars are open.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, in Pennsylvania, they shut down the liquor stores because they're all state-run. So liquor stores are shut down, but beer distributors are still open.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, and this is the first time in all the time that I've had since I quit drinking that I feel bad for alcoholics. I genuinely do, because... We cope with stress by drinking. Of course, we also cope with joy, boredom, frustration, melancholy, any real emotions. It's all kind of treated with the same glaze. And that glaze usually comes in fifths or half gallons. And if you don't let us in there, they're going to start throwing rocks through windows, and it's going to turn into barter town real fucking quick.
Well, and that's...
And that's the thing.
That's an interesting point, because like that was going to be my next question. It's like... What are you doing in your isolation? I mean, those of us who can work from home, obviously. Jim, would you be able to work from home? I don't think you would you?
No. Mostly...
So you would probably get laid off then.
Yeah, if I hadn't already been laid off. I mean, can you get double laid off? I mean, I'll take two checks. That'd be sweet. Every two fucking weeks, I'm like, oh man, Uncle Sam is taking care of Jim. Thank you.
We'll look into that.
But Malia, actually, she's working from home, and she works for a hospital in credentialing for, well, I don't want to specify, I don't want to, you know, fuck her or anything, but anyway, so specifically, she works for a hospital, so she has to work from home, and so I'm playing daddy daycare, so I go over there, you know, and I put on my hand sanitizer, and then I get deloused, you know, I shave off a layer, you know, of skin. And they throw the lye in the water or whatever, you know. And then I get to go in and hang out with my daughter looking like powder, you know, while she's in a plastic bubble. Like, you should have put air holes in here. I'm just like, that's how the corona gets in. You know. And we play a game. We see like, how blue can her face get before I let her out. And then we try and beat that score.
Super fun.
You are such a good dad. I don't think you get enough credit for being such a wonderful parent, Jim.
I'm honored when people say things of that nature. And I mean, honestly, I'm just trying to do as best I can. I mean, I'm not gonna be able to fill her mind with a whole lot of useful knowledge. But I will say, at age four, she does refer to my action figures as Malcolm Reynolds and Jane Cobb. She addresses them by their full names. And
well,
she knows which is which.
That's, again, amazing parenting.
Yeah. Phonics, math, you know, somebody somewhere. She'll follow something on YouTube and she'll pick some stuff up. She's a quick kid. But when it comes to fucking Thundercat knowledge, she knows who Lion-O is. She knows who fucking Mumra is because he kept trying to invade the castle all weekend. And it was fucking super fun. So, yeah, I tried incorporating all of my toys that I kind of had, like, stockpiled away. But she didn't like my – I had, like, this really awesome John Belushi's character Bluto from Animal House.
Yeah.
I got that. But she doesn't like to play with him for whatever reason. And I was so honored that she didn't look at it and say – he looks like you, Daddy, because I was so expecting that. You know, it's like his eyes are all bloodshot, and he comes with, like, a mug of beer that's, like, spilling. Like, I shit you not. And I'm just like, oh, if she says this looks like me, I'm just going to go ahead and just crawl in a hole. And
well, I think that's why she doesn't want to play with it.
Yeah. She's already got the live action.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Complete with karate chop arms.
No kung fu grip here.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, we were playing. I taught her how to play war with cards, but I didn't want to call it war. I was like, we'll call it super battle mode.
And no, so, I like it.
Yeah, and so we're playing. We're playing cards, and I figure it's helping her. Because it's like, okay, she throws down a card and I throw down a card. I'm like, okay, so who has what and who's higher and who wins and who loses everything? And she's having fun because she's interacting with Dad and everything else. And so, and she's fucking kicking my ass. I'm like, I'm putting down like cash in my wallet, and she's like playing me for like the fillings in my teeth and shit. She's like, if I win this next hand, you got to get more health insurance. Cause I mean, you're tapped, you know, I own you lock, stock and barrel.
Yeah.
But we're playing it, like, you know, and so she's having fun and we're laughing. And so I throw down a card, and I for whatever reason, I decided I'm going to say it in Spanish. So I'm like, trace. And then she throws down a card, and she's like, dos. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God, I am the greatest scholar teacher, you know, like, you know, with a child could ever hope for. And so we started playing war in Spanish, and it was so much fun. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to keep her entertained, and keeping her distracted keeps me distracted from losing my ever-loving mind. So,
and that's, I think that's...
Just go out and pick a kid.
Get yourself a kid!
Go on now. They're always at Walmart. You can just take one out of another cart and put them in your cart. They're not going to give a fuck. They're not going to miss one or two.
Just give them candy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing the parents a solid, bro.
You're helping out your neighbor.
You raise Cletus as your own.
That's good that you've got some things to do, but, like, I'm kind of wondering, like, Samantha, like, what are you doing to keep distracted?
Some of the stuff that I'm doing, so we're able to work from home, so during the day we do have, you know, jobs. We did have, we just had a release go out last weekend, so we're sort of in a light stage, but I'm on vacation this week. So.
Lucky.
Oh, so we
what
actually,
are you going to do with your time, Samantha?
Oh, gee, masturbate a lot.
No, bookmark.
Being honest. It increases your immune system. It's scientifically proven. It's good for your immune system. Yeah.
It releases endorphins.
Yeah.
Puts you in a good mood.
You're relaxed.
It gives your cheeks, like your skin, this natural glow. Anyway, so we were actually scheduled to go to my grandmother's. We were going to leave Saturday morning. And with all this going on, she's 85. She does have respiratory issue. And she has some breathing stuff. And this is a respiratory disease. So since, you know, we saw cases in Columbus, like, more than double overnight. We're still really low. We went from 50 to, like, 119. But still, I had been downtown. Our last show was in March. We still did our live show in March. And our next three shows have been canceled. So
I was about to wave to Jim, and then I realized I've got no camera. He couldn't see me.
That's an emotional wave. Hello. So what we're doing, we canceled our trip, but we decided to take our days anyway, because why not? Both of our companies are actually giving everyone an extra 5 days, so it just replenishes my vacation back to normal. So I just kind of, I'm like, okay, that's fine with me. So we are working on some video stuff where we're getting some creative things going. I've been talking about a YouTube channel for a long time, so I think I'm finally going to actually start filming some stuff. I'm learning how to use some of my new apps. I'm upping our...
Well, it's a good thing Danny's not here to hear that you're going to start a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's going to bookmark the shit out of every video you post.
Oh gosh. I also signed up for an Instagram class with this one woman I follow who, like, Subi Zimmerman, the Instagram expert. So she does courses and classes, and she's doing a 2-hour intensive, for free. So I signed up for that. That's happening tomorrow. So yeah, just a lot of reading and playing with the dogs and doing stuff. Trying to be creative. I have one more story I need to write for Stark Story Snacks, and then my season's done. So I'm going to do all that this week.
I just wanted to toss in real quick. I feel if any positive can be brought out of this quarantine and this stay in shelter or whatever, it'll give us some time to just slow down. You know, every day, you know, you start, you know, you go about, you know, doing just your regular routine, and then more and more stuff kind of gets added to it. And you don't realize just how rough and rugged you're running yourself until you can take some time where, okay, well, I'm not allowed to go outside. So I can start focusing and doing some stuff that I've wanted to do for a while, or that, you know, will better me in some way, or I can sort of put some stuff on pause for a while and give myself a chance to recharge. You know, I know that in a lot of cases, the stress levels are going through the roof because, well, how the fuck am I going to pay my bills? You know, that's obviously another major stressor. But again, this will give you the opportunity to kind of focus on moving into that next stages, we're all kind of reeling from this whole thing. So if I can maybe offer that much, it might be a little bit.
See, buddy, I agree with you, and I hope that's the case, but I really don't feel like that's what's going to happen, because I feel like in this day and age, there is no slowing down. You just redirect your energy, you know?
Yeah.
Again, with everyone working at home, they're just going to, you know, they're going to, it's going to be a hurry up and get it done sort of thing, so I can have the rest of the day to do whatever. But then I just feel like there's going to be more stress from working at home. I have been saying this whole past week that I do not want to work from home. Number one, because I know myself, and all of the things that I love to do are at home.
Yeah.
And
he has a name. I mean, we all know. Anyway, sorry. Well, and also, I'm sure you don't want to work from home because you just got your fucking office, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sitting there.
But there's a reason that you go to work to do your work, and you come home to relax from work. When you combine the two, it's just not going to, forgive me, but it's not going to work.
What you did there.
Yeah, see.
So I've been trying to get paid to do creative things, you know. I would love to be able to stay home and do that.
That delivery. There was something about that delivery. I was just like, there's some nefarious shit going on. Trying desperately to tiptoe around. Like,
look, I've taken out ads. I've done videos.
Tasteful. Tasteful is the key phrase that everyone seems to forget.
Tasteful's difficult, you guys. It's hard to sell. It's hard to sell no cleavage, okay?
A problem that I have to deal with, unfortunately.
So I've read some like articles and some tips from people who do work from home all the time. Like, they have a creative space or whatever. So you don't work where you relax. You know, so you don't do your work from your bed. You don't do your work from your couch. You don't do your... So the house that I bought, I intentionally made sure that we had enough space to be able to work. Ryan has his office, I have mine. So we each have an office to go work in. I have no issues working from home long periods of time. I like it. And this other guy had written an article as how, because he works from home 24/7. I mean, that's how he makes his money, is from home. And what he does is he gets up in the morning, the same time he would going to any other job.
And sell drugs.
He does his normal routine, and then he gets dressed and goes for a walk around the block. So it's like he's coming into work, and then
That's
he goes
smart.
Right to his workspace. Yeah. So it's about figuring out how you as an individual have to get yourself into that mindset.
See, that makes sense, but the problem is where I live, and Jim, you can attest to this. There is no place for a workspace.
Well, but that's the thing is, that's what I'm saying is, you as an individual have to figure out something that works for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It might be getting up in the morning and going to take a walk. It might be something like that. It might be changing into a little bit like, for me, just straight out of pajamas. But it might take something like dress up a little extra than you would normally at work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, just dress yourself up a little bit to put yourself in that mind frame of it's work mode.
Yeah.
Simple things like that.
And if you got, if you've got kids, it's extra aggravating.
Yeah.
If they're little, like I'm lucky in that she's four. So, my effort when entertaining her is pretty low, you know, when it comes to like having to, whatever, you know, just keeping her occupied. You know, young adolescents and teens and everything else, when the last place they ever want to be is stuck at home with their fucking family, that's where they're at. I mean, that's rough for them. I mean, it's rough, you know, if you're trying to get work done in that environment and also trying to, you're dealing with the fucking, the cabin fever that's like going on in the next room, and you're trying to focus on you know, for some people, going to work was their oasis away from their home.
Oh, yeah.
In a sense. I mean, it wasn't that bad for everybody, but for some,
if
it's
you
like...
enjoy your job, yes.
The term, like, work wife or work husband. There's that one person that, like, you know, every day, you know, they're kind of like a surrogate spouse in that. I mean, they you just work with them as though you would, you know, in some other capacity with your significant other or whatever. I'm not saying that, you know, that's required or whatever, but that detachment from the home was needed for a lot of people. And now that that's not there, I mean, you got that to deal with. You know, I see things spiking, like, you know, domestic violence and shit, you know, where you can't get away from the place that is the most toxic.
Well, yeah, and that was something I was going to bring up too, Jim, because I just saw something like this shelter in place thing is aggravating a lot of things. Like you said, domestic violence, kids, who get abused at home and school was their only respite. Again, we're aggravating more problems than we're solving. Yeah, okay, maybe you don't get sick, but, you know, there's a lot of other really bad stuff that is amping up because of this.
Yeah.
You know, I keep seeing all these articles about kids who, you know, get breakfast and lunch at school because, you know, there's no food at home. Well, they're not getting that at home. You know, the school has been shut down like a week and a half here in Oregon. And so, you know, there's however many kids out there who are on the free lunch program who aren't getting fed. They're starving at home. But they're trying to put together all these, you know, programs to try and get those kids food. But it's also things like you said, it's domestic violence. It's other issues that, you know, people go to work and they don't have time to focus on or, you know, take part in, you know. Yeah. And now that's all they have. And the other thing too is kids are, you know, they're supposed to be, at home doing, you know, study time. Well, what if your home only has one computer? You know, but you have three kids in three different, you know, grades. You know, how do you divide up the time so each kid gets their education? And if you are lucky enough to still go into work, you know, but your kids stay at home, how do you make sure that they're doing their schoolwork, you know, and not falling behind? I mean, again, so many problems being exacerbated because of this thing, and the repercussions are going to be just horrible.
And, you know, it's easy to get caught up in that because, you know, everybody feels so helpless and everything just feels like it's only getting worse and nobody in charge feels like they know what the fuck they're doing. But then, like, in moments like this, we do get to see that, you know, those glimmers of humanity that do still exist. You know, like in New York where it was like, what was it, like 4,000, 5,000 retired doctors and nurses came off the fucking benches to just, like, show up and help, you know.
Yeah.
Places like Meals on Wheels are like, you know, we don't give a shit. If you're hungry, call us. We'll bring you food. You know, don't worry about what it costs. We, you know, fucking food is, you know, profit is not the concern here. We're trying to, and so like, in that capacity, people are stepping up to fill the gaps that are obviously not there in our leadership. So we can have some faith in that, but. You know, it's important to keep those things in mind and find ways to kind of help either encourage or support those things in any way that you can. If there's any kind of skill, or even if all you can do is drive a car, you can deliver food. You know, people that are ordering, like, places are being overrun because they don't have enough manpower to get the food out to people. So, I mean, if you have a car and you're willing to make a run for somebody and maybe make a couple bucks for yourself, not to say that that's, you know, your main goal, but you're going to need money also. So these are where people step up and, you know, show that not all of us have the same mentality as the shitbags that are driving us further into this fucking void, that there are people and there are there is that spirit that's still there that's trying to keep us going and keep us held together in some way. And so just to cut the shit and cut the pettiness and everything else and be like, fuck, man, who gives a shit if your neighbor is, you know, is a same-sex couple? If they're hungry, fucking help them. If you're in need and they come knocking on your door, like, we know you need, you know, like masks or fucking like hand sanitizer or fucking oxygen or whatever. Are you going to be like, well, hold on. You two guys together or what? Like, are you going to fucking be that guy? If you are, then you deserve to fucking, you know, go out. But I don't think people are really going to take that time to hold that shit as close to the breast as they think they might when they're the ones staring down the ultimate, you know, ultimatum. That was a stupid way to awesome rant.
It's pretty much the motto of this show to, you know, live your life, don't be a dick. You know, and I think now more than ever, we need to all kind of live by that mantra. Just don't be a dick. We're all scared. We're all freaking out about this. But, you know, maybe not buy every package of toilet paper so maybe some other people could have some, you know.
Well, that's the thing is get information from more than one source. There was never a shortage. That was not a thing. That was not true. It was a false claim that went fucking wildfire, and everyone went nuts.
No. The toilet paper shortage? So here's what happened. Australia gets all their toilet paper from China. With China closing down shipping because so many people were sick, shipments of toilet paper were not making it to Australia. So Australia had a mild shortage. So far as I know, they're getting more toilet paper. So that information got, like, someone in England picked it up because I think England gets some of their toilet paper from China.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly my point, is verify. That had nothing to do with the United States.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with us.
So
we did not have a shortage, but we sure as fuck do now because we've been to the grocery store twice. And there's nothing there.
Yeah, so I think it hit the news, but no one heard Australia. Everyone just heard toilet paper shortage.
And then went crazy.
Yeah, people lost their fucking minds.
If everyone just would shop as normal, there would not be a shortage of anything.
Yeah.
Like, just calm the fuck down.
I did see an interesting article about how the reason people kind of hoard is it's the only way they can feel like they're in control of their situation. It's the only thing they can control in all this.
And it's fun. I'm just saying.
But I mean,
if
you don't have a backup for an emergency, I mean, whose fault is that? Your own. Like, I'm sorry. We have backup cans of stuff. We had a backup, like, package of toilet paper already. And it was like, you just gotta, you never know.
Look, all I know is that I am hoarding every single plunger I can find. So.
I mean, you don't have to be doomsday prepper level, but a little bit of prep goes a long way.
Yeah,
well, I'll say this, if I can real quick. The panic in buying whatever is it's a human instinct to panic or whatever, and you know, I'm not trying to justify it in any stretch of the fucking imagination. It's stupid and it's selfish and everything else, but that at least I can sort of understand, not justify it, but I can understand why a mind would go to that place. Holy shit. You know, I'm trying my best to take care of my family. And if I have more than I need, I'll give the rest away.
Yeah.
You know, I'll make sure that, you know, it's going to some use or whatever. But the soulless sacks of human garbage that do shit like, what's that? I sense that there's a pandemic coming. I'm going to go to every fucking store and get every hand sanitizer and everything else. And not so that I have it, so that you don't, and when you need it, you pay my prices.
Yeah.
That shit, like the guy that was in like Tennessee that had a fucking garage with 17,700 bottles
ridiculous of
hand sanitizers, wipes, all that shit. He's like, and I can't even sell it. Where's me? And I'm just like, oh, and then I was just like, if I know anybody in Tennessee, fucking, if you're looking for stuff, They showed a picture of him in front of his house. I'm like, motherfucker. You know, you're just going to get kicked down real quick. But the cops got there first and took it all away from him. And the whole story was about, like, how Amazon is trying to crack down on assholes profiteering off of shit like this. But, like, this sack of fucking, you know, and it's like, okay, you're trying to, you know, take care of your family. I can understand wanting to kind of, like, be a hand sanitizer middleman. But when you're just straight up gouging, like, he, I've read in the story, he's like, there was a business, and this guy's like former military. So he's like, I knew this business nearby was going Chapter 11, so they were selling off everything, and I found they had like 50 of these, like, pandemic preparedness kits that had like a couple of hundred masks, 4 bottles of hand sanitizer, and a thermometer. And they were selling them for $5 each. And I talked them down to $3.50, and then turned around and sold them for $50 a pop.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm like, wow, you—I mean, seriously, you need to rot. You need to rot in hell and have to ride a bicycle with no seat for eternity. Like, fuck you to death.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I cannot believe that in that. These are the same sons of bitches that would try selling life jackets on the Titanic. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This no, fucking no, you're air right.
Trying to fit on the soapbox. I'm gonna climb down.
No, you're right. I mean, and like I was saying, a little bit of prep goes a long way, but also there is humans have this natural mentality of, well, that's never going to happen to me. So I understand why people don't have this, and I get the level of panic. I understand. I don't want anyone to think that I'm like cold and heartless. Like I get it, but. You know, but people like that, man.
You're cold and heartless.
I'm cold and heartless.
You know, I love you.
I'm just chilled and half-hearted.
I was going to say lukewarm, but yeah.
Well, I did want to ask, though. You said that when your husband goes for his walk around the, you know, beforehand to kind of like mentally reset himself to kind of. Get back into that mindset of going into the office. Do you help that in ways like would happen if you were actually in the office? Like, do you like change the lock so his key card doesn't work? Or do you eat his lunch before he gets a chance to, and then be like, I don't know what happened, bro. Like, we're the only two in the fucking house, lady.
I just take a bite out of the sandwich and put it back in there.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't do that. It was an article that I read. So I'm like just in preparation for the day that I can work from home full time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be really funny.
But Jim, I'm so glad you brought up the sandwich thing, because that was the last thing I wanted to talk about before we end the show. You posted a meme to our friend Court. It was this hysterical exchange between someone who kept having his sandwich stolen and the guy who may or may not have stolen the sandwich.
Was it ham and rye on Swiss? Or
no, it was like turkey and Swiss on rye.
That's what it was. That's so good.
So,
oh man,
I added to the whole text chain, and it was mainly people bitching about having their food stolen at work. And it was like, okay, I get it. If you get your lunch stolen at work, it sucks, and whoever stole your lunch is a fucking dick and they should rot in hell. However, you could have a lot of fun with that. And I saw a lot of people who said, yeah, I put X-lax, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no. Put 2 sandwiches in the refrigerator with a note that says, dear sandwich thief, today I have made 2 sandwiches, one of which is laced with poison. Your move.
Yeah, I'm sure HR would be like, that's fine. That's okay. Veiled threats in the lunchroom, that's fine. With a paper trail? I see no crime here. I see no issue.
Hey, you've done nothing wrong. You put 2 sandwiches in there and a note. Doesn't mean there's actually poison in there, but there could be.
Yeah, the bomb squad will figure it out once they detonate the sandwich and examine the remains. Well, no, James, I was going to ask, who was the name of the big guy that was in charge of
sandwiches?
IT? Not Brian. the guy above Brian, the guy that was basically in charge of all of our IT and all of our, like...
No, that was the big guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Brian.
No, there was another dude. There was a guy that was, like...
Are you talking about Troy?
Troy. Now, how did you feel about Troy?
Troy and I never really had good interactions. I think he was a good guy. We just rubbed each other wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to eat his sandwich out of the break room. Not all the time. Occasionally.
Why would you eat his?
Well, the first time was out of need because I was starving and I needed to eat to live. And so I went to the... And I felt bad. I felt bad doing it because, you know... But it's like, okay, I'm not going to take something cheap and inexpensive because that means whoever bought that, they don't have the money to buy something nice. I see this sandwich in there and it's like... It was handcrafted by local artisans. Like, it wasn't store-bought, but there was, like, care and love and, like, imported bread, I'm assuming. Because it was a bomb sandwich. Oh, my fucking God. So I'm like, okay, so whoever brought this sandwich in, you know, someone loves them and, you know...
Fuck them, I'm going to eat their lunch.
Yeah, so they need a little shade on their day. And then... I overhear a conversation with Troy and somebody else being like, some motherfucker ate my lunch. I'm just like checking my beard for crumbs. I'm like desperate, like, please God.
Don't let him smell my beard. Oh.
Yeah, he's like, is that cranberry relish I smell on your breath, James? Cause like, and I lived in constant fear because He knew so much about, like, you know, computers and shit. I'm like, I figured if he knew, he would, like, just, like, be the scourge of my life. Like, my identity would always be fucked up and stolen. Like, always like, hey, did you know you're wanted for murder in, like, 7 states? Like, no. Like, yeah, I shouldn't have eaten that fucking sandwich, Jim. But I rolled those dice. And I forget there was
something. And not just
happened.
Once, apparently.
Well, yeah, the second time it happened... Where he was just a real dick to me. I forget about what specifically, because this is back when I was drinking. So he may or may not have been justified in it. But he dressed me down something fierce and just, like, gave me all kinds of, like, you know, attitude because something was wrong and, like, I was trying to balance all kinds of different things at the time. And, like, it was my fuck up and I owned it, but like he just made it so much worse. And then I'm just like, I see that fucking sandwich again. T-bone, you're going hungry again. And so after that, it was maybe a day. I wasn't going to do it that day because that'd be too obvious.
So you like ate his sandwich.
I did. I fucking did. And it was good. It was fucking. And I would do it again in front of him. I wouldn't care. Like a firing squad. Like, if I'm on death row, they're like, what is your last meal? What do you want that to be? I'm like, I want Troy's lunch. Find Troy. Don't tell him, but take it. And then you can kill me. I'll be a happy fucking man.
Oh, buddy.
So, Troy, I know you're listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he's wasting his time listening.
Well, I'm sure he's on, like, some, like, deep web site where it's just...
You're
like,
the reason he quit!
Like, lunchthieves.web or something?
He got sick and tired of you eating his sandwiches and he quit.
That might have been it. I might have driven him out. He's like, the one sanctuary that I could always hold, you know, true was the goddamn break room, knowing that no one would fuck with my food. And then this fucking...
But no, guy, here comes Big Jim.
Yeah, well... my sugar was low. I had to, you know, I was feeling woozy. So, Troy, if you are listening, I do apologize for hate eating your sandwich.
Just the one, though.
One of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is I have to, you know, atone for my shit. And, I mean, I'll make you a sandwich if I see you in one of the camps that we eventually get put in. You know. I'll kill an armadillo and, like, you know, cook it in its shell. And,
dude,
like,
it better be... It has to be better than the original sandwich you ate.
Oh, well, shit. That's... You know, if he, like, puts a curse on my family, like, I'm destined to walk the earth until I can recreate a sandwich as good or better than the one that I took, then like, I'm gonna be like a Highlander. It's like, shit, I've seen so much come and go.
You know what? I'm not gonna watch that show. It doesn't sound that good.
Coming this fall to WB.
Sandwich Maker. The end of every episode is you making another sandwich, but it's just not good enough.
No, and it's just like, I'm making a sandwich, and I'm like, will this be the last one? Roll credits. Executive producer, Dick Cole.
Each episode is like, is the, you know how they've got like the villain of the week? You've got the ingredient of the week. It's just a new ingredient you're trying to get.
But no, like, I'll pitch it like that, and they'll turn it into like some kind of like sandwich detective. Where he's got solved crimes, and it's always like, oh, he was strangled by a baguette or something weird. And now you're like, we gotta put it. I know one guy that can crack this case.
This isn't regular mayo. This is artisan mayo. There's only one place in town to get this mayo.
Crazy Juan's Mayo Emporium. You know, and like, I gotta go there, and there's a bunch of dudes, and like, you know, it turns into a whole thing.
Yeah, still like, not gonna watch the show.
Sitting in my trailer, like, where did I go wrong? I mean, I don't even know where this came from. I don't know who I am anymore. And it's like, my character hates sandwiches, he just only eats soup. Because he thinks that's the opposite of sandwich. He's like, soup.
Soup. Soothing.
Yeah. It's civilized, you need a utensil. Like, a sandwich is so unwieldy, it's like a primitive man's food. You know.
I won't eat a sandwich because I have to eat it with my hands. I'm too refined for that.
And I got it. Okay, this might turn your attention back to the show, which we haven't named yet for some reason. I'm hunting a serial killer who takes a soup spoon from every person that he kills. And so I'm like, and it's like, it's always sandwich related, so I'm following the sandwich trail. You know,
you're on the trail of the sandwich killer.
Yeah. Well, but he's like, I don't know, it could be muddled, but yeah, I figured like, he's got this, like the bone collector, he's the spoon collector. He's just got like, his trophy room is just like, that was from a woman in Poughkeepsie that was eating chowder.
Detective Jim comes into the scene, takes a look at the body, and then goes, did you check the silverware drawer?
And there's like a tiny chalk outline around the spoon section of the fucking utensil drawer separator.
We counted the spoons. There was an odd number. Damn it, he's been here.
Was it 17? Don't tell me it was 17. It was 17. How did you know? God damn it. See? It's not that bad.
Sir, we found a napkin with some crumbs on it.
We're looking at David Tennant as the bad guy. So we're looking at him. He's not looking back. We're looking at him. Talking, and I should probably be stopped sometime before things
coming get this fall to the Cooking Channel.
The Sandwich Detective.
James Willing stars as
one man relishes justice more than any other. No, don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at that. That was horrible. I hate myself for that part.
So, did dad jokes come with the job description of dad, or were you always just good at
it? In that case, I was a stand-up dad years before I actually appropriated. That's the criteria we're working with. In it's the part I was born to play.
Detective Colby Rye.
I gotta have a sidekick.
The sidekick who thinks you're crazy?
No, everybody thinks I'm fucking crazy. Not just the sidekick. No, the sidekick's the one person that, no, he's got a point. And they're just like, bro, you, I don't know, you ate a bad sandwich or something. You're eating the sandwich, bro. You're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Rye, get in here! Meet your new partner!
Yeah, every episode is like an episode of SVU where it opens with like on a picnic. Like a hot dog contest.
But you see the killer, you see the killer from behind. Like it's low camera, yeah. So like you're seeing like from his knee, but it's yeah. Focused on the family and their picnic. But you get that sinister music.
He's twiddling a spoon.
Okay, you're right. I might watch this show now.
Thank you. We'll get canceled after one season.
After half a season.
After one meal.
The rest of it goes to DVD. Not even streaming services.
The network will refer to it as, well, we just sort of cut the crust off the show and realized. And a whole lot there. That one was better. That was better than the first one. Okay.
When the DVD box set comes out, it'll be the picnic edition.
In the shape of a sandwich.
Each disc in the box set is a different ingredient.
Yes. Actually, I had a packet of Post-its that looked like a sandwich. So, like, you had your first, like, 30, and it was bread, and then
yeah.
Lettuce, tomato, and it was...
That would be on my desk. That would be on the detective. And he's like obsessive compulsive, so like he has to solve the case before he runs out of Post-its. or like sideways.
Rye, let me ask you. Why do you only eat soup?
Well, it's a combination of ingredients. It's an embodiment of life, really.
He gets life. That thousand-yard stare.
Why soup? I ask myself that question every night.
He starts hearing Vietnam helicopters. And...
But it's just an overcrowded deli.
Yeah.
No, it was Vietnam. They're just, everybody else is running off to fight, and I'm making soup. Back at camp.
No, sandwiches. You're making sandwiches at camp.
True. Can't put soup in my canteen. Get your head in the game. You lost a lot of good ingredients. They're called men.
Those ingredients are never coming home.
That ingredient had a wife and kids and stole a son of a bitch.
What was his wife's name? Latiss?
It's French. And she's more of a garnish. She just, no. Yeah, Latiss Kale.
No, that's you know? The girl he's seen now.
Oh, yeah. Kale, yeah.
Kaylee. Kaylee.
Gotta be Kaylee.
Kaylee, yeah.
Their kid's name is, like, Onion.
Well, yeah, I met my side piece, Kaylee, because she was choking in a deli and I performed the Heimlich maneuver and saved her life. So it was just we had a connection there. I don't know what it was. This went weird. We started off solid with like helpful information for people, and we're here, and we have to deal with that.
Well, no, we don't, because we can end the show right now. Thanks everyone for listening, and tune in this fall to the Sandwich Detective.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.